You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora, Robin Malcolm, how are you this morning?
Kia ora, Rach, how are you? I'm good.
Good,
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, it's so nice to chat with you about your brilliant new show, After the Party, which is, people are throwing a lot of big words about this show around, which I tend to agree with all of them. It's brave, it's powerful, it's quite terrifying to watch. How do you feel about people being really, I think, four episodes deep into this world you've created about a very singular character, Penny? Tell us a wee bit how you're feeling.
I'm kind of blinking a lot in shock because you never know, you know. In the theatre, we always used to say that you really don't know what you've made until the audience tells you, you know, because that space between the making of a thing and then the receiving of it is the important space. And so before we showed this to anybody, you know, I mean, we thought we kind of knew what it was, but there's always that deep terror that it's going to go down like a cup of cold soup and you just, you know, and then you're going to have to go away and hide in your cave again and try something else. So four episodes in and it's having the response that it's having is amazing. And the audience is coming back and teaching us what we've made again, and it's incredibly affirming. It was a risky venture, and it was tricky, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the good projects usually are. We didn't want to be comfortable with it. We tried really hard not to fall into sort of typical television tropes. You know, I guess because we've been on the planet for a little bit, we kind of know what we like and know what we don't like. And
totally.
We were determined not to be driven by any kind of external commercial imperative, you know, like good TV looks like this, you know. We didn't want that. And so far, so good.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. I feel like I just said, you know, Penny is a very singular character, but actually I kind of want to walk that back because she reminds me of a lot of people I know, and I think a lot of people are watching this show and finding someone that they recognise in Penny and the characters around her. I'm going to let you do a short synopsis, Robin, because I don't want to do any spoilers, but how would you describe the show for anyone who has yet to watch After the Party?
Okay, After the Party is a six-part drama which exists in two time frames. One is the present and the other is 5 years earlier, where Penny, the science teacher, was married to another teacher at the same boys' school, and at his 50th birthday party, she catches him in a room with a young boy, and what she thinks she sees is sexual assault, and what she sees is sexual assault, and so she accuses him publicly of this, and it blows the family apart. They've got a teenage daughter. It blows the family apart. He disappears, and 5 years later, when the dust settles, he comes back, and it sort of reignites everything because he was not convicted. There was no evidence, and so she's a lone voice. And because she's quite she's quite an aggressive personality. She's dealt with quite cynically by the community around her, and people don't believe her. So it's about it's a sort of a tennis match between who do you believe, you know, is she right, or is she being gaslit by her ex-husband and the rest of the community, or is she, as a friend said to me the other day, I'm really nervous that she may in fact be an hysterical militant man-hater.
Yeah,
so we're
there is so much going on in the, even in the like first 15 minutes of the first episode, it's grabs you straight away, Robin, and it doesn't really let you go at all since then. And
that's
great. As a viewer, you go back and forth on those two positions all the time, and there are so many bits of it that made me feel absolutely sick to my stomach, which is a compliment because I think it means you're getting right at the heart of some very tricky conversations that we are constantly navigating in communities. You've got the sort of the character of Wellington as its own sort of personality in this as well, that small town, close community. Did you sort of have Wellington in mind as the crucible for a specific reason for this?
Well, weirdly, no. Weirdly, we had written it to be in Dunedin. And sadly, Dunedin just proved to be too expensive, you know, and so, and then we suddenly, you know, the writer, Di Taylor, she was in Wellington seeing one of her kids, and she said, why aren't we shooting it in Wellington? Wellington is, does everything that we wanted Dunedin to do and more. And what we loved was, because Penny is such a battler, they're all battlers, the fact that you've got a landscape that is just hilly, and she cycles, so she battles all the time, and also it's windy, so the terrain and the wind became a sort of a personality for the show, that all the characters kind of bash up against. You know, that they're either on a hill or in the wind or in the sea, and because all the characters, you know, the kids in particular, you know, they're also in a state of real emotional kind of turmoil and collapse through most of it. We wanted the landscape to reflect that, you know.
Yeah.
And Wellington, and also, you know, as we were shooting it, you know, we were sort of reintroduced to Wellington in a way, because it is just the most extraordinarily beautiful city. It's so beautiful. It's so striking. There aren't that many cities in the world that really look like Wellington, that sit in that sort of basin, surrounded by the sea, but every hill you're on, you're looking across at another hill, so the light moves and shapes all over. So it's a cinematographer's just wet dream, really.
Totally.
So beautiful, and you know, having a sort of a lone woman trying to get around that city on a bicycle was too much fun. We just couldn't not do that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You know, and it's interesting because even at the premiere, the first laugh of recognition was this really grumpy woman on a bicycle.
In her high-vis.
In her high-vis. You know how you said everyone know, you know, like, I feel like I know her. It's like everyone knows that woman.
Yeah.
She's the woman that doesn't get out of the way when you're coming up behind her in a car.
Yeah. Because
she's like, nah, I own this road.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, this is a show you have co-created, Robin, as you mentioned, with Diane Taylor, and, you know, then starring as Penny in this. How was it for you bringing one of your own characters to life? Because that must be quite a different experience. You know, as an actor, you're usually inhabiting someone else's world. Did you feel an added kind of pressure to that role?
No, there was just an added joy to it, because I knew, you know, I've been with the making of all those characters from the ground up, so I kind of lived and breathed all of them. You know, the way Di and I would work was that, you know, we spent a good year or so just sitting around my dining room table, just shooting shit and going, how about this? No, how about this? And then we would do things like, I would just sit on a chair and be a character for a bit, and I would improvise around that character, and Di would write, and then I would stand up and sort of, you know, so what was lovely was that I'd been sort of workshopping physically all the characters in a way, and in particular Penny. So I kind of knew, I knew the depth of her before I'd started. But that was one of the great advantages for a long development process. We chose to stay away from funding for a while, because we just didn't want anybody else coming in and saying, well, that won't sell. You know, so we had that time to do all this character work, and We also brought in, once we started working, you know, with a time frame, our director, Peter Salmon, came on board really early too. So we were all very, we knew the material really well by the time we put a camera on it, which I think made a big difference. I think it did for all the other characters as well. Like, we were very sure of our people.
Yeah. Yeah, and it feels like you really found the right people to bring life into those other characters too. You've got an incredible cast around you, some absolute legendary names like Peter, but also you've got some brand new faces as well. It must have been a pretty special experience to have that particular blend of people in the creating process.
Oh, look, I tell you, you know, obviously getting Peter Mullen and to play Phil was a coup, you know, that was really something, because he, you know, he brings a level of kind of human depth to everything that he does, you know, and so he's such a world-class act. But then on the other end, I was part of the auditioning process for all the other characters, and it's such an overused word and I hate the word, but I was genuinely really humbled by the kind of work I was seeing coming in from all the actors that we cast and the actors that we didn't cast at the end. And but the kids, oh my God, the kids, like Tara Compton, who plays our daughter, who really is in terms of the sort of the emotional tent poles of the show, she's the third. And she does so much of the heavy lifting for us in this. And she was at Toi Whakaari when we cast her. She's only just graduated. Her and Ian Blackburn, who plays Ollie, he was the same. And they're just such extraordinary young talents. I look at what they brought to this show, and there's no way I would have got close to what they were doing when I was at that age. They're just such incredibly brave young actors. And then the other guys that we got in, you know, Dino Gorman and Mia Blake and Tanya Hickey, who's the boss of Toi Whakaari, and all the Wellington actors who came in as our support characters. Just again, New Zealand actors are often really apologetic, you know. We're known to be incredibly self-deprecating and we don't stand up for ourselves a lot, and there still is a cultural cringe. And yet I looked at the work that these people were bringing to set every day, and they were world-class, absolute world-class performers in every way. And I was so blown away by what they were offering us, you know.
Yeah. It's an amazing show. It really is, Rob. And it's got such a, I think, such a world to it that even from that first 10 minutes, you know exactly where you're at. By the end of the first episode, I realised I'd had my hands clenched the whole time. I had to actually physically unclench. And I have found that has been the experience of watching every other episode since. But there is something about this show that feels very special at the moment. We've got a lot of really lovely texts coming in about it as well. So congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
On a brilliant show. There are two more episodes, is that right? Sunday nights?
Yes, two more episodes and a couple more laughs.
Excellent, excellent.
We tried to get a couple more laughs in there before the end.
Yes.
You know, you don't want it to all be doom and gloom.
Oh no, the laughs are good as well. The laughs are very, very good.
Yeah.
Hey, Robin, thank you so much for speaking with us about After the Party. So awesome to have you on the show. And,
pleasure,
have a really great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Okay,
right.
See ya.
Bye. See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.